Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and Christ Jesus, only Son, our risen Lord. Our text this day is our gospel lesson from John 16. Christ begins to speak to his disciples plainly, they claim, as an interesting bit of language study this week. When the text of the gospel goes from Greek to English, we get parables. You speak to us in parables. You speak plainly as a contrast. When it goes from Greek to German to English, the translation becomes one of, you speak to us darkly, clouded, and then you speak to us clearly. The parables are dark sayings that the disciples don't understand. Christ does his best to try and explain to them the many gifts of God that are coming. And they are just now, at the end of the 3 years, in this inextricable march into Jerusalem, in his unavoidable march to his own death, they are just now saying, you're not speaking darkly anymore. Now we understand. But you can almost hear the sarcasm and the lack of conviction on Christ's part when he says, do you now believe? Now, after all this time, now you understand? Because sadly enough, in his all-knowing Godhood, he knows they still do not understand. And he points out to them that the time is coming. Indeed, it is upon us now as we go into Jerusalem to my death that we go to your scattering. That you will abandon me, that you will forget that I am the all-powerful God, that you will walk away. Lo, you will run away. You will leave me all alone. Except I am not truly alone, because God the Father is with me. And even in the darkest times, if you remember nothing from this morning, remember that you are not alone. Because the Father who loves you is with you. And to his right is our Savior, our intercessor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ here in this gospel lesson depicts many gifts of God. Well, not in the Gospels, he depicts many gifts. In this, he depicts the gift of prayer. He tries to explain to his disciples that many things are coming. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to send a comforter. That same comforter that we receive in holy baptism. He's going to give to us his body and blood upon the altar for the forgiveness of sins. Not some symbol idea of this had been a celebration of freedom in the Seder, but that this truly is a celebration of freedom, not from slavery in this world, but slavery eternally. A gift of faith, a gift of freedom in Christ. And here, in this gospel lesson, we have the gift of being able to go to our Father directly, to speak to him, to tell him what we want. The Reverend Dr. Luther talked about there being many components to prayer. He talked, first of all, about how that was God's promise. Here is this promise in this gospel lesson. God's promise to you, to me, that he wants to know what we think. He wants us to go to him and tell us our desires, our needs, our likes, our dislikes, our wants. The second component of prayer is that we have faith in this promise. The devil knows Scripture. The devil knows the many things about Christ. When Christ cast out the demon in the Gerasenes, the demoniac cried out, "What have you to do with us, Holy One of Israel?" He knew who Christ was. The demon understood that he was the Son of God. But the difference between you, me, and the demon is that the demon didn't have any faith that Christ was there to save him. Christ is here to save you. Christ promises prayer as a gift to you. This is the second component of this, that we have faith in this promise of God to want to hear our prayers, that he wants not just to hear anybody's prayers, he wants to hear your prayer. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to name your desire: health, a better job, increased faith, an increase in the ability to provide for your family, increased food, or decreased food, depending on your weight. God wants to hear from you and from me. He wants to know what we think, what we feel. He wants us to ask for our desires so that we can receive our desires. He wants to hear from you. This promise is for you and your children. He wants us to ask, not because of our own merit, our own worth. He wants us to ask because of the worth of Christ. Don't think you're going to earn your way into a life of prayer. For just like all the other gifts of God, you're not going to earn this. Because you're not worthy. I'm not worthy, you're not worthy, none of us are. We stand before a gracious God who credits our faith as our righteousness. Not our true works, not our merit, not anything we've earned. He doesn't want to hear from us because we've done great things. He wants to hear from us because he created us, because he loves us, because he is the one who gives us our worth. He's decided that you are worthy to communicate with him. He is the one who reaches out to you. So don't wait until you've studied enough scripture or you've done enough good works or you've done anything at all. But go to him now in prayer. Go to him tonight in prayer. In the ancient church, there were many appointed times for prayer. They called them the daily office, the seven appointed offices of the day. Sometimes starting at 2 in the morning, people would get up to pray. Pray at dawn, pray at meals, pray in the evening before you went to bed. One of my best memories from seminary was going to the daily office in the evening, going to comp line, and praying that last prayer of the day. Lord, grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. If you don't know what you should be praying, go to the book of Psalms. We included some great things today from there. Let's see, what was it? Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine upon us that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. His disciples asked, how are we supposed to pray? He taught them the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. How are we supposed to pray? We have 150 prayers in the book of Psalms. We have many other prayers throughout Scripture. The Nunc Dimittis we'll sing later is a prayer from Scripture. The power of God's word and promise is immense. Value it. Reach out to it. Grasp hold of it. Use it. Rejoice in it. Treasure his gifts. I encourage you not to worry about your worthiness, because I am no much more worthy than you. We are not worthy to be in the presence of God, to go to Him. But He promises for the sake of His Son that He declares us worthy. The answers to prayer, yes, no, wait. We trust in God's infinite love that He knows the right answer to our prayers. We must not rely on our own finite wisdom to name, picture, or designate the time, the place, the way, the measure, or other circumstances for God's answer to us. Leave that to Him. Trust that His love for you is paramount, is infinite, that He will come to you to give you what you need. In the darkest times, when the hours seem bleakest, when the answers that God sends you are seemingly the darkest, remember that as Christ prayed for that cup to pass from Him, the cup did not pass. When the Apostle Paul prayed that this thorn in the flesh might be taken from him, he prayed at least 3 times in Scripture that it would be taken away. God's answer was that God's grace was sufficient for Paul. Sometimes the answer is no. When Elijah prayed for there to be a famine in the land, that the rains would stop to punish God's faithless, the rain stopped for 3 years. And when Elijah prayed again for the rains to begin and the famine to end, it ended. When God's people reached out to him for salvation, for freedom from the Egyptians, he sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt. When God's people prayed for freedom from the Roman armies, that was not enough. He sent his son to free them from sin, death, and the devil. Not just the Roman legions, but from death itself. God's answer to the people for freedom from Rome was wait. Because he had a much bigger answer to give. Freedom from death. So in your struggles, in your pain, in your hurt, trust that beautiful way that Christ ends this gospel lesson is a promise for you. Trust in Him that Christ has overcome the world. Because He has overcome the world for you. Now may the peace that transcends all human understanding guard your hearts and your minds unto life everlasting in Christ Jesus. Amen.